Romans 8, verse 26, the Bible says, "Likewise the Spirit," capital S, Spirit, "also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." And let's read verse 28 out loud if you got it there in front of you. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the time that we have together. Thank you for each one here in the room with us, listening out in the parking lot, those that will listen later. I pray, Lord, that you have us receive the message that you have for us when it's time for us to receive it. So I pray we'd receive it tonight. I pray bless all that goes on. Thank you for each one and the testimonies that had a part in the service and the songs. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The last few months have been different, I know, for all of us. This is my return to standing in front of you, and I can finally tell you I finally found something worse than the sweat and the nerves and everything that associated with reversing jobs for the night. I found something worse, and that's trying to preach to a camera and then being my own editor and saying, "Cut that part out, cut that part out." I told Brother Bill when he started doing Sunday school, he'd always say, "Cut that part out." And once he came back, I said, "Now I can't say that anymore because there's some people here that they'll hear it and, you know, cut that part out." But it's been different. And I'm sure it's not been the same different for everyone, but I'm sure it has been different from normal for each of you. I've only gone to a few places, been here to church, I've been the grocery store runner. And most of the time I go places by myself, because they say don't bring any unnecessary people in. So I try to just follow the rules and follow the arrows on the floor and do what I'm told. And most of the time I go by myself. There's been a few times where I couldn't take it anymore, and I just said, "We're not going anywhere, but we're going to drive for a while. We're all going to get inside our vehicle, and we're going to drive for a while." And it had to have been weeks, if not a month, where it was me and the kids in a car going somewhere. And I heard a question that used to be familiar that I haven't heard in a long time, but it fell right back into the routine as soon as we pulled out of the driveway. "Are we there yet?" I don't think she didn't. It was Anna. I'll call her by name, but she said, "Are we there yet?" And I thought, well, I haven't heard that in a long time, and I can't say that I missed it. I haven't missed hearing, "Are we there yet?" And she didn't even know where we were going, so I could say, "No, we're not there yet." I want to tell you tonight, every time I read this passage or I hear somebody preach from it, or I see it on a doily or on the wall, or I hear it on TV or wherever I happen to hear it, verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." I don't like to ask that question, but when I hear this verse, I ask that question: are we there yet? Am I there yet? Can I honestly say all things work together? Or I know, that's the most important part. Can I honestly say I know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose? Can I say I'm there yet? Are we there yet when I think of my family? Are we there yet as a church? And me, personally, I thought I was there. And then things happened. Life continued on. And I thought I was there, but I wasn't there yet. These verses remind us, the way I put it was, we can't get to verse 28. Really, you can't get there unless you read the whole book, but you for sure can't get to 28 if you leave out the Spirit. If you leave out, "Likewise the Spirit helpeth our infirmities," verse 26, we know not what we should pray for. If you leave that out, you can't get to "all things work together for good." And the Holy Spirit is who understands our needs when we're not able to. He understands what we need to pray when we don't know what words to say, or we don't even have the vocabulary to put into words what needs to be said. The Holy Spirit comes alongside us, as Pastor said this morning. He is our helper. He is our intercessor, as Christ intercedes for us. He's our translator. According to these verses, he makes intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. And the Holy Spirit does that. And if we acknowledge his power in our life, then maybe we can get there and say, "I know all things work together for good." In Sunday school this morning, we read from 1 Peter verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That's another verse we could read and say, I hope I get there. I don't know if I'm there yet. Am I ready always to give an answer of the hope that is in me, personally, the hope that is in me? And the same possessive there. We know, do we know the hope that is in us? Do we know all things, afflictions, trials, persecutions, all things, disabilities, hindrances that come on us every day, daily hindrances, hourly concerns, every minute burdens, things that bother us on a minute-to-minute basis. I use the illustration of a bad back. Once your back hurts, you can't remember how you used to do what you did when it didn't hurt. And when it hurts all the time, you're like, how did I used to tie my shoe? How did I used to pick up toys or pick up after the kids? And it hurts, so it feels different. And how it's to remember that which I thought I used to know, to learn again, to get over that hindrance. All things, trials, afflictions, the things that bother us in a constant fashion. But it says all things. We know that all things work together. They align. They mutually contribute to something. They work together. When I was a kid, and now I keep finding little screws in my kids' live and have their rooms downstairs, and I find these tiny little screws. Aaron is becoming like his dad. When I was a kid, I loved things so much that I had to know how they worked. So I would find the little screwdrivers and tools, and I would take stuff apart. Most of the time, I was so entranced by how it worked, I just couldn't figure out how to put it back together. So at one time, it did work. It worked before I took it apart, and then I couldn't get it straight back together. And now, same thing, I'm finding parts, and I'm saying, where did this come from, and is there any hope that it'll go back to where it was? But work together, like gears. Every tooth and spur and worm and every gear that works together, whatever kind of gears you have that work together in your life, they work together for something. They work together for good, a benefit, something that's going to help accomplish God's will for your life, and it's going to accomplish God's will to a good end. So good that will be evident in your life in some way. Not all good all the time, but it works together for something good. A good purpose for somebody else's life. A help, taking a hindrance and using it to help somebody else. And all of us keep ask ourselves that question. Am I there yet to say all things that I know that all things work together for good? To them that love God and those that are called according to his purpose. All of our afflictions and trials pull into what works together for good. When we get to the place and say, yeah, that works for good. In everything comes across our life, say, this is for good. This is somehow God is going to use this for good. If we want to get to that personal level and say, yeah, I know that, that's true. All things work together for good. Then we have to see our trials in that perspective, in that light. We have to see it from that angle. We only see that after we've received Christ. We only see that after we see all the terrible things that happened to Jesus so that we could get the best good that ever happened, which was salvation, being redeemed, having our sin and our failure and our falling short of the glory of God, having that paid for by what Jesus Christ did for us. If we can understand understand what Jesus did for us, we can see the good in the trials that God allows in our life. We stopped in verse 28, but verse 29 talks about all the details that God went through. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. God did the work. God did the calling. God said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We answered that call. God will do the justification, the glorification. God takes care of it. God is the cook in the kitchen. I'm going to bring it down to my level. God is the cook in the kitchen. If you like what's been prepared and you enjoy it, You might want to let the cook do their job so you can enjoy what the cook has done for you. If we trust God for our salvation, God took care of that for us. He offers it to everyone. We trust him for that. If we stay out of God's way when it comes to glorification and justification and sanctification, say, that's your department. I don't understand everything about it, but I trust you. That's what happened this morning. A young child can say, I might not be able to define all those terms, but I know Christ died for me and I want Jesus. I want Jesus as my Savior. If we trust him for our salvation, then we can get to the point where we say all things. Verse 31, it says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Earlier in Romans 8, it talks about we're adopted. I was not adopted. I was the youngest child, but I used to try to trick my sister and tell her she was adopted, even though she was older than me. That's how smart I've always been. But a kid that's adopted, the parents know what they're getting. The parents make a choice, and they say, we want this kid in my family, in our family. And God adopted us. He knew what he was getting when he adopted us, and he knew what he was getting, and he took us anyway. He knew what he was paying for when he sent his son to the cross, and he sent him anyway. He loved us that much. God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God said, I already paid the ultimate price for your eternity, and you're worried about tomorrow. I already gave my son for you to have eternal life, and you're not real clear on the next step in the way when I've already cleared the way for you. I paid for it. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who's going to explain justice to Almighty God? Who's going to explain judgment and condemnation to Christ Jesus? He who knew no sin, but became sin for us. Who's going to walk in and say, well, maybe you didn't realize who you're talking to. Let me explain condemnation. Let me explain judgment to Almighty God and to the sacrifice that Jesus made. The answer is no one's going to do that. Who is he? No one's going to do that. No one's going to walk in and say, do you realize who you're talking to? Each of us should say, do we know whose courtroom we're in? Do we know who the judge is? Do we know who our advocate is? In verse 35, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Maybe many of us in the way we have lived could say, this sounds a little far out. It sounds a little far-fetched. Maybe not so much anymore. We might go home and turn on the news and see some tribulation and distress and persecution and famine, nakedness, peril, and sword. And we might realize God's protection has remained the same. Despite the bubbles that we live in, despite the, however you want to say it, the perspective that we have, God's protection has not changed. To them that love him, to them who are called according to his purpose. So Paul says, all that stuff, tribulation, distress, persecution, who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? And then he says in verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Paul says, and God says, brush it off. What are you focused upon? Who are you focused upon? If you're worried about any of those things, you're not focused on the one that loves you, and you're not focused on the one that you should love. And we're not able to say we know that all things work together for good to them that love him. We are more than conquerors. It's an emphatic expression. How do you win more than being the winner? How do you conquer more than already having conquered? It's not just one battle. It's not just one event. It's an emphatic finished work. It's not just one thing that you've conquered. It's all of the things. In Philippians it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Strength to do the thing that God wants done, and then strength that comes as a result from doing the thing that needed to be done. I use the example of Fanny Crosby. We sang one of her songs this morning, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It. She wrote, "To God be the glory, the old rugged cross, he hideth my soul. Jesus, keep me near the cross." And she wrote the song, "All the Way My Savior Leads Me." If you don't know the story, probably all of you do. Fanny Crosby was, shortly after she was born, she became blind because she had an infection, and someone trying to help her put something warm, I always do say a warm washcloth, but put something warm to try to draw out the infection, and believed to cause her blindness after being 6 weeks old. And so she lived her entire life. After 6 weeks of life, she lived her life blind. And she said she said that God equipped her to write the songs that she did, to give her the heavenly perspective that she had. She could not read the way that we would read, obviously, but she would memorize whole books of the Bible. And when she had a time of sadness or depression, she would figuratively turn in her Bible that she had memorized, and she would read God's word that she had memorized. She said, "How could I have lived such a helpful life had I not been blind?" She wrote the words, "All the way my Savior leads me." Again, this is not my preference to put the words on the screen, but it brings the words to life in a new way when you're trying to avoid typos and you're reading the words and putting them up in a different format. And she wrote the words, a blind lady wrote the words, "All the way my Savior leads me." It hits a little different when you sing a song and you realize the person that wrote it was blind. "All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well." Fanny Crosby said, "I don't blame the doctor." Again, somebody tried to help and it caused her blindness. She said, "I don't blame that person. He's probably dead. But if I could meet him, I would tell him that he unwittingly did me the greatest favor in the world." She said, "I wouldn't be able to write the songs that I wrote if I hadn't been blind. I wouldn't be able to turn in my virtual Bible that's contained in my head that I had to memorize because it was not available to always read. I wouldn't be able to do the things that I did if I hadn't done it through Christ, if I hadn't done it with the burden, with the weakness." The last verse, the last line in the last verse says, "This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way." She said, "I wouldn't be able to say Jesus led me all the way if I had my sight. I would not be who I am if God had not allowed this in my life. Not just allowed it, but planned it that way so that God could use me more. Jesus led me all the way." Last two verses in Romans 8 says, "For I am persuaded," and hopefully we get there. Hopefully we can say we're there. "I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come." I got to confess, the person's not here tonight, and this doesn't happen to me very often, but somebody invited me out for breakfast about 3 or 4 months ago. It had to be like the end of February or March. And we sat down, they were paying for my breakfast, so I was trying to be nice, and they were talking about this coronavirus, and it was the first time I had heard about it. And they said, "I'm just really worried about all the implications of this thing going on." And I kind of sat there, I was trying really hard to be nice and not say anything, but in my head I was thinking, I've never heard of this thing, I don't know what he's talking about, and I'm not real worried about it because it's not here. And you know, and in my mind I dismissed it. I had to call him and say, "Do you have any other predictions you want to share with me? Because you were right about that one." But what is present? The things that we think are going to stay normal forever. The things that we think, nobody can do anything to change that or change our behavior or change how we operate. We say, well, I've seen it all. I've experienced it all. Things present or things to come. The things we have to go back and say, "I was wrong. I didn't see it. I was wrong." Things to come. "Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." And to say to God, I thought I had it figured out. I thought I was there. I thought I was in the position to say all things work together for good. But I'm not there yet. It hasn't become real. It hasn't been real in my life yet. I want to get there. I want to say I'm there. I want to get there. And I get there by loving God, realizing God loves me, and realizing that God's called me to a purpose. And God has called us to a greater purpose throughout individual trials. I know many going through trials that are a lot worse than I imagined before, and they're a lot worse than I have imagined in my own life. But God has chosen to put them through that trial to use their life in a greater way, to make them more usable and a bigger example, and to do more for God. And we know, and hopefully we can all say, and I know, that all things, good, bad, testings, trials, all things work together for good. It's for my good. Something right now is for my good, and God's working it together for someone else's good. Maybe I can't see it yet. I'm not in the position to see it, but I know that God is working it for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. I don't like asking the question, but we need to ask it sometime. Are we there yet? God, get us to the point. Get us to the point where we can say all things. We know all things work together for good. We're going to pray and have an invitation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your patience with us. Thank you for when you try to warn us and we don't listen. Thank you for your love and your mercy. Thank you that you loved us while we were yet sinners. I pray if there's anybody here tonight that's still in that state that can say, I don't know that because I don't know the Savior. I'm still trusting in myself. I'm still trusting in some other thing for my salvation. Help that person tonight realize that what Christ did for us, he did so we can respond, so we can call, so we can trust, knowing the work is finished, but we have to receive that free gift, accepting what Christ did for us. So we can have a home in heaven and then live not in fear, live not overwhelmed, but live knowing that you love us, you have a purpose for us, and that all things work together for good. Bless our invitation. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.